This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, what's happening? How are you today? Tiki and Tierney coming here from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams for 30 years. They've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button. Get mortgage on this football Monday around the country. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Many of you probably off celebrating and honoring Dr. King, Martin Luther King Day. And all these years ago, and I'll never forget, I was at the Trent Tucker Rule game, which changed the entire clock complexion of the NBA.
It's true.
Mark Jackson triggered with one, it was like one tenth of a second. And he's looking around. He's like, nobody's open. Ewing's not open. Trent Tucker comes right by, right in front of him. Mark Jackson hands it to him, and Tucker heaves it, and he knocks it in against the Bulls.
And then they subsequently said, it's impossible to get that shot off, so we're changing the rule.
To 0.3 of a second there. And I always joke that's the only game that I had a better seat than Spike Lee. It's before Spike Lee got on the court. I actually had better seats. That's true. I was like seven.
I thought he always had.
No. I mean, he's a real fan. I mean, when he made his first movie, which I guess would have been Do the Right Thing. Yep. That's when he went out and he bought season tickets, but he was up high to start. I mean, Spike didn't just parachute into the front row.
Okay, at least he earned his way down to the court.
Of course he earned his way. Hey, these teams earned their way as well. Yeah. Listen, no surprise. Yeah, I wasn't surprised at all. I thought that you never know how this is going to play out. I mean, Rodgers has a throwback game, or Garoppolo's loose with the football, or Derrick Henry runs for one. You never know. But, you know, I mean, all week, lay the points.
You're right.
Not surprised.
Home teams, lay the points. And Garoppolo couldn't be loose with the football because he only threw it eight times.
It's crazy.
It's crazy, BT. I think like there's a couple takeaways from these past weekends. And not just this weekend, but you can go back to the divisional round. Like this notion that the quarterback has to be the guy to win, it feels like it's easing its way out of the reality. Now, at some point, you do have to have a quarterback. You know what I mean? You do have to have a guy. Like an Aaron Rodgers who can bring a team back. Not that he did, not that he played well. That's another takeaway from this game that I think Aaron Rodgers is like, stoop on that pedestal is, you got to knock that down a few pegs. But we'll get to that in a second. But like the dominance of some of these run teams, it just gives you an idea that some GMs or coaching staffs or organizations are saying, we're going about this the wrong way. And like we don't need to go find our elite superstar quarterback and then go get three or four elite wide receivers to pair him with, because it's a passing league. If you're not throwing for 5,000 yards, you're not winning. Somewhere back in the minds of GMs, and John Lynch is one because we know where his history, where he come from, play good defense, run the ball, don't turn the football over. They started doing the old school way. Let's build an offensive line.
Yeah.
Right?
They drafted McGlinchey.
McGlinchey, a couple of Joe Staley's still there. Sure. I mean, they're on opposite ends of the age spectrum.
Yeah.
But they build an offensive line through free agency or the draft. And then you go get some running backs that are pretty good. Mostert, I didn't even realize this. He's been on six teams.
Yeah.
Six teams.
That's
he
right.
couldn't catch on with a six. And he rushes for 228, whatever it was, 28 yards and four touchdowns. Right? And so it's not necessarily about the talent. It's about the principles of team building. And certain teams have done that. Tennessee has done it for a long time. That's why they've been able to, you know, be 9-7. Not elite, but 9-7 for the last, what, 3 or 4 years? Because they play decent defense, and they're going to pound you with a run game, get a good offensive line. The San Francisco 49ers just take it to the extreme because their defense is so dominant, and their run game is explosive as a run game that you've seen since, I think, Seattle a few years ago.
I think it's better than that, for sure.
Oh, it definitely is.
I mean,
a run-dominant team.
I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the last time we saw a run-dominant team with a guy who can rush for 150 yards on any given day is probably Seattle. I mean, the Patriots ran the football, but it wasn't really
Nah, I never felt like that. I never even felt remotely like this.
No, nothing like this. And so, but we're starting to see it a little bit more.
Yeah, I do think it's going to kind of reset itself at some point.
I think it's all a cycle. You know what I mean?
Sure. It's a copycat league. And you not only do you copy, you know, innovative plans that you then implement for your team, but then by seeing somebody do something, you're like, whoa, we have to react to this. And I brought up to Tiki the other day, I said, I think that really what's happened is, you know, whether it's, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago, somewhere in that window, as tight ends began to emerge as big wide receivers, as Tiki likes to say, and they were really, a threat to go, not just the 17-yard, you know, catch and rumble and go down, but finish the job and take it 50, 60 yards to the house. What happened was, I think, is that teams start to change their personnel attack and what they did in the war room, what they did on draft night, how they structured their defense. They started to go, wow, I mean, if this guy's running a 4.62, we can't have that 247 middle linebacker trying to, you know, run down the field with this guy. So you got lighter players on the field, and once lighter players go on the field, the OC says, if you're committed to this kind of a style, that's great. That's what we want.
Right.
Now we shove it down your throat.
That's right.
But now I do think there'll be somewhat of an adjustment. I think the thing that bothers me, I heard this a lot today, I don't think it's right. I don't think it's accurate. I don't think it's fair. And I do think it's going to resolve itself at the Super Bowl. All right? Jimmy Garoppolo, and not that he's been disparaged today, but I think he's been overlooked in a lot of ways. And this is the problem with the immediacy of a singular game and losing sight of months and months of football.
Yeah.
Why were the Niners hosting the game yesterday? Well, in large part because they went into the Superdome and they scored almost 50 points against the Saints, who at that point were a real threat to be the top seed.
That's right.
I mean, you know, they didn't run for 700 yards that game.
Nope.
Jimmy Garoppolo was pretty good.
That's right.
So we overlook these little things that the bottom line with both teams, certainly the Niners, because they're more old school. I feel like more people do things. That almost sounds ridiculous. But I think that both teams are incredibly well run, incredibly well coached, diverse attacks. They're smart. And the two better teams won.
Yeah.
I mean, these were easy plays in my mind.
Yeah, I think they really were easy plays. Kansas City, it felt like they were in trouble for a little bit at the beginning of the game.
Did you feel that way?
Not really. Only because people were calling me or texting me and writing me, Tennessee's winning this game. And I'm like, is this a question mark or a statement? That was literally my response.
What was their punctuation?
There was none.
Okay.
You know, it's a text message. So you just get
punctuate text.
Well, you
do
because you're Mr. Literal
over
here.
I have to. Drives me nuts.
A lot of people send ambiguity. It's like, Tennessee's winning this game. And I'm like, wait, is this a question mark? Or are you making it like a strong statement?
I got you.
I'm like, is this a question mark or a statement? Like, it's a statement.
What did you think? I wasn't worried.
I said, I need to see it till halftime.
Yep.
And then we know what happened once you got to halftime. It's just a different football game. Pat Mahomes scrambles around and goes, you know, bonkers and, runs down the sideline. Like, I thought he was going to step out of bounds. He just stays in bounds.
Yep.
And then he gets, you know, within the 10-yard line. He's determined. And, you know, defensive backs, I don't know if it's because they're afraid to hit quarterbacks or whatever it is. They just kind of let him just do what he wants to do. I forget his name for the Tennessee Titans or the defensive back. You see a quarterback on the 10-yard line.
You put your helmet in his clavicle
and try to break it.
That's
exactly right. Exactly what Kansas City did.
As violent as that sounds.
Which Kansas City did, Sorensen did.
When Tannehill was trying
to run down the field. He just drilled him.
That's
a good hit. If a quarterback is going to stand up and be a runner, you drill him.
Yeah.
A lot of DBs aren't doing that.
No. And Sorensen had a big role in this
huge
run.
Huge role.
He really did.
Yeah, he did.
You know, with stopping the fake punt with Tennessee. I don't know, because I know that they were running through the whole sequence, but it's funny that you brought that up. If we can I guess you could run through the whole thing if you want, but if you could isolate the 27-yard touchdown run for TV purposes, because I wanted to point something out at the end. They were trying to strip Mahomes of the football.
Yeah.
They were trying to strip Mahomes. But not only do you have to be the aggressor there, that's obvious, but if you actually stop him, whether it's at the 2 or the 4 or the 5, clock's ticking.
Yeah.
I mean, so what was there, 10 seconds left? 10 seconds left?
Yeah.
And they get, at that point, probably two plays at that point. I don't know if we...
But it's not a guaranteed touchdown, though. Tremaine Brock was the defender.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But if you don't go for the strip and you go for the tackle...
Yeah.
And you bring... Right there. Try to strip it.
Yeah.
You see him... He pulls like he's trying to... No, tackle him.
Yeah. It did come
loose.
And
you only give up a field goal.
It did come loose, but it was too late.
He scored a touchdown.
He did. I don't know if it would have mattered. But, you know, that's... You get superior players and superior will at home sometimes. It was freezing, by the way, out there. Not that that had a big impact on the game, but it just felt like after that that long drive that Tennessee had, it kind of shut down a little bit. Like
how about the first one they got field goal?
Well, no, the second one where they went in 80, whatever it was, 8 minutes, 8.5, almost 9 minutes drive and scored a touchdown. After that, they weren't the same team.
They had
anymore.
Nothing after that.
They had absolutely nothing. Not that they blew it all in on that drive, because that's not, they've been doing that their whole season. But I don't know, it just felt like the conditions or. Whatever it was, it didn't feel like
the Titans
team. I
just think the better team won. I don't know that it could have been 75 and tropical.
At the end of the day, that's ultimately it.
Kansas City's better.
Kansas City can score when they need to.
I'll tell you this. You know I pay attention to lines as much as anybody. Mm-hmm. And I was stunned. Now, Westgate put this out last night at halftime. Was it a little cavalier? They put it out at halftime.
The Super Bowl?
Yeah, they did. I mean, you could always pull it back, but it's an interesting avenue to take.
It was kind of foregone, though.
I don't disagree, but it wasn't 40-3. Is what I'm saying. But still, they put it out, and I didn't realize it was out. As I'm watching the game, I tweeted, I said, I wonder what the... I had that thought, because it was right around the same point. Yeah. Actually, it was like midway through the third quarter when I knew it was ice time. And I said, I wonder what the opening line's going to be for the Super Bowl. And I wrote Niners -3. That was like my guess. And, I like to guess, and I'm usually in the ballpark.
It's funny, because we were doing the same thing at the place, the house that I was at.
Yeah.
I said Niners -2.5.
You did. So we're thinking the same thing. Vegas is thinking the other thing, because they went with Kansas City laying 2.5, and now it's down to, I believe, Kansas City's about a point favorite. But what's interesting about, just from that point of view, everybody thinks Vegas is always right, and they're not. The key is to catch Vegas when they're wrong. And I honestly believe, we have 2 weeks to talk about this. We don't need to skin the cat now. But, I think the 49ers are the better football team. Right now, I believe the 49ers will win. I think the 49ers can play more styles than the Chiefs can. There's a lot of reasons why, I deduce that San Francisco is the better team. But it's interesting that the odds makers, who generally are on point, but the exact opposite.
Well, maybe they want people to be interested in it.
So, or they're trying to lull you in, which is always part of their motivation as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, I didn't jump on it, but I'm just kidding. I probably should have.
And it's also 2 weeks. Like, that's the one... The one thing I kind of hate about the way that the championship weekend and the Super Bowl is set up, it's just 2 weeks. It's a really long time.
Yep.
I mean, it'll be interesting to chart this, this line from where it is now and to where it ultimately goes by the time we head to Miami, which will be 4-5 days before the Super Bowl. We go down Wednesday. Our first show in Miami will be on Wednesday.
Yep.
Where will it be at that point? And again, both teams came out healthy. No issues.
No. Niners.
Well,
Kevin Coleman,
but...
Huh?
I prefer
to have Tevin Coleman if I'm the Niners.
I hear you.
I know they got 5,000 running backs, but I kind of like Tevin Coleman.
But you know what? But I think they're interchangeable. I really do.
Yeah.
I really do.
We'll find out.
They have the luxury of playing the hot hand. And let's not forget, Tevin Coleman missed some time earlier this season, certainly last year.
Oh, yeah, last year. Did he tear his ACL? What did he do? No, that was he's been hurt a lot. He was even nicked up a little bit with the Falcons.
Yeah, I think it was a foot, but the other guy from Minnesota, McKinnon, tore his ACL.
Tore his ACL.
But they have so many guys, and so it's who's hot today. All right, Mostert, go ahead. You're running. You're toting it 30 times or whatever it was. It was awesome to watch.
I want to play one cut for you. Then we'll get a break in, and we'll obviously take calls. We got to get into Aaron Rodgers. That's certainly a big story. You alluded to it. Teague and I will expand on it coming up. 855-212-4227. But we had John Lynch on the show. All right, so Tiki and Tierney, 2 days, doing it for 7 years now. Back on August 26th here on the show, and we broke down 5 or 6 different cuts. This is because we didn't really know Jimmy G yet. When he plays, he wins, but he hasn't won anything big yet, and he ripped up his knee. So he said, hey, John, are you fully confident in Jimmy Garoppolo? And here's what he said.
He needed to go through some of those trials and tribulations that you go through at the quarterback position. Very few people other than Pat Mahomes just make it go look easy, and at some point in his career, he'll face some adversity. I think Jimmy's faced that with the injury. Prior to that, he wasn't playing up to his expectations, but we felt like he'd come out of that. And the good news is we've built this team around him. I think we've added a lot of skill at the receiver position. We got a strong running back group. We got George Kittle at tight end. We feel very good about what we're putting around him, and probably most impactfully on the defensive side of the ball. We think we're putting together one heck of a defense, and so now it's go time to put it all together.
Yep, check,
yep.
Check.
They
check,
certainly did
check,
put together a
check.
Heck of a defense, man. The defense is, Bosa and Eric Armstead. They get after the
quarterback. Sherman had a renaissance season. See Sherman chirping with Darrell Revis today?
Yeah.
On social media?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, look, he got beat for one deep ball, and he looked like he was struggling to catch up. But that's not his game. He's 31 years old.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's also 31.
He's not a speed guy anymore. No. He's a position, be in the right spot. He's not hiding in cover three, as Darrell Revis tried to say. They play a lot of cover three, but that's because they can. You know what I mean? If you can get away with it, you can get enough pressure up front to force, you know, a opposing quarterback to throw the ball fast. It's the best coverage to play, right? So you don't have to have a shutdown corner if you have a great front seven like the San Francisco 49ers do. But it was interesting, that cut also, about talking about Jimmy G, he's only making $27 million next year, right? So they have flexibility to a lot of these other teams that have to sign their quarterback don't have. And we asked him about it as well. We don't have the cut, but we asked him about it. He's like, look, we saw the market. We saw where the market was going. So when we signed him early, and people were like, why are you giving him $100 million? Because it only averages $27 million or so a year. The market is now $35 million
That's
a year.
That's right. That's actually getting, and Mahomes getting more than 35, I didn't by even, the way. Mahomes is getting more than 35.
Of course he is.
He's probably getting 40.
I think about that. I didn't think about it until John Lynch said it.
Yep.
And I was like, dude, this guy's brilliant. I mean, we knew he was smart, but it was a great point that he made. And it's why this team has staying power. Right? They got to sign some of their, like Kittle's a free agent. I know they got to, you know, sign some of these guys, but if they stay like they are, and we know they will because Coach Shanahan is phenomenal, they could be beginning to be the 49ers that we used to know.
Throw a little seeds for that dynasty. Something else we can get into coming up here. 1-855-212-4227. So I firmly believe these are the two best teams in all the football. I think we have ourselves a great show coming up in a couple of weeks in Miami. As Tiki said, we'll both be out there for that. But I want to get into this coming up next. Body language matters. Body language is important. Body language is revealing. And I saw some body language from somebody yesterday I didn't like. I want to throw it by you. We'll get to that coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Tiki and Tierney is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. With the owner rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote. Just go to geico.com. Easy. By the way, tomorrow, 6 Eastern, so just as Tiki and I are getting off the air, so we'll really do most of this Wednesday, although we can certainly preview a little bit tomorrow before we get off the air, Hall of Fame stuff. Mm-hmm. So the three primary things here, will Jeter get the unanimous lock?
Sitting at it right now.
He's at 100% right now. Yeah, about 43, 44% of the polls roughly in. Does Larry Walker get in? Yeah. Does Curt Schilling get in? Yeah. I believe those are the three. The trends are going in the wrong direction for Bonds and Clemens, but obviously a lot of storylines there, and you never know. Yeah. Tomorrow's going to be an interesting day.
We'll see what happens. They are 71, 72%, I believe, between the two of them.
Yep.
Something around there, so just below the threshold, but things could change. We'll see.
That is right. By the way, as I get it, yesterday was rough. Like, if you bet the Niners or you bet the Chiefs, you're loving it. Or if you did a parlay with both, you're really loving it. But if you're just a football fan, for the most part, it's a little lame. But maybe we get the opposite this year, because last year's conference championships were both overtime.
Yeah, that's right.
Think about that. And think about the snooze fest that the Super Bowl became.
Yeah, but it was only a snooze fest because we love offense. From a defensive appreciation standpoint, and I mean, I like defense.
I didn't love it.
I got what the Patriots were doing, and so it made sense. Like, there was appreciation and the ugliness of it.
I could see that as a former player.
But
I got you.
I didn't love it. It wasn't like I was like, oh,
this is amazing. Of the population.
I was like, all right. I know they're not going anywhere for the next, 5 minutes. They're going to keep the ball and grind it out and then punt, and then they're going to stop them. And I'm gonna go get another drink. You know what I mean? It was like one of those things. You didn't have to watch.
A lot of time to get drinks that day.
Exactly. You didn't have to watch every moment.
It was horrendous.
This game, I think, you're going to have to watch every moment.
There's no question. You know, and I want to get to Rodgers here, because as we get deeper into the, and again, it's 2 weeks away, so a little less than 2 weeks. So the coverage will be, intermittent. We'll work our way toward the Super Bowl, as we always do. We'll be out there, as Tiki said, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday in Miami doing our shows. I'm going out Tuesday. Tiki's coming in Wednesday morning. So we'll have ample time to do this, and we'll do it the way we always do. But we got to get to Rodgers now, because if we don't, it might blend away.
Yeah.
I mean, he's telling us that the window's still open. I don't see it. I don't see the same player. I'm sorry. I'm not a scout. I understand that. I'm not a GM. It just doesn't look the same. But
the body language.
Yep.
Did that, was that jumping off the TV to you
as
it was
did.
To me?
It looked like frustration. Now, you're all the way through 17 weeks of a regular season. You have they had the bye week, so they didn't play. Then they had the divisional round, and everything should be clicking at all cylinders right now if you're the Green Bay Packers. And what I saw looking at Aaron Rodgers was like, I can't believe that you guys can't get open, or I can't believe you missed that route, or frustration at himself. Man, what am I doing? That throw was easy, and I sailed it. Interesting to what your point was, BT. Everything else that's there feels like it's heightening, right? Aaron Jones is he's a heck of a runner, and he's a good receiver out of the backfield as well. Defensively, they finally have brought some free agents in, and with the Smiths that we always talk about, yep. they get after the quarterback, and there's some stoutness on both sides of the offense and the defense, and so it feels like they're more balanced than they've ever been. But at the same time, Aaron Rodgers, who just turned 36 on December 2nd, and he's 15 years in, has always
had... I think it's year 16.
Yeah, you're right. 16 years in, has this aura that we just lump on him.
Mm-hmm.
Because, he earned it. I'm not saying it's not an earned, appreciation for him, with the Super Bowl and the Super Bowl MVP and two league MVPs and... 4,700 yards or whatever. He's a Hall of Famer. It's not even a question. Like, he's a shoe-in for that. But for the longest time, we've just lumped this. Yeah, I know they haven't won, but he's still the best quarterback in football. Yeah, I know that they got knocked out in whatever round, but you know what? He's still the elite. It's everything else around him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that narrative has expired a little bit. And not really a little bit. I think it has expired, period.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
And it's not anything that's unnatural. He's 36 years old.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens. Like, you start missing throws. And when you watch that game, if you go look at all the throws, half of me didn't know where he was going, right? Usually Aaron Rodgers is like, I know where this ball is going. It's out of my hand. It's there. And it kind of was like, all right, wait, what am I doing? Who's open? Devontae's not there. Sack. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or he'd get it where he needed to be, but he was sailing him. Right, he was missing throws, things that you don't see him do. He threw two interceptions. Now, one was a Hail Mary at the end of the game that Richard Sherman intercepted. But he had four interceptions on the season. And so it didn't feel like the Aaron Rodgers of lore, right? This platform that we put him on, despite not accomplishing a ton, meaning Super Bowls, et cetera, we always have had him on that platform. I think he's off of it now,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's more instructive of what this team's going to look like going forward. And I don't know what he can do about it.
Mm.
He's 36 years old, unless they get an Antonio Brown type wide receiver to come in and change the complexion of this team. I don't know how this changes going forward.
The only thing that he can change is what he projects, which is really
true.
What bothers me the most. Because listen, at age 36, and he carried that franchise for years. I'm not going to get on the air and criticize him for, what is a natural, slight, but detectable erosion of skill. That happens.
It happens.
It is what it is. But I can criticize him for not projecting anything that exudes any sort of confidence or belief, or not just in his team, but really belief in himself. Like the slump shoulders to me. I can't stand that. I can't see that when I see that. I can't stand that when I see it on a basketball court, when I see a pitcher who's starting to get that look on the mound. It jumps out to me. It's something I've always looked for. Think about this. We've all had those moments where we're in the middle of something fun,
yeah.
Whether we're reading an article or we're watching a game and our wife wants to have a talk with us. And then we've all been there. We're married. We've been there, right? Depending upon where the conversation goes, generally – is derived from how you react to the inquiry or the request. And we all know it's not really a request, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like if you, oh, here we go. Why? Like if you do something stupid like that, it's probably not going to be very cohesive. It's not going to be an easy 10 minutes. You're going to have to fight through it. Or if you're out to dinner with your wife and something comes up, we're going to get into this now. Can't we just enjoy dinner? Come on, this is real life. But how you project matters.
That's right.
It matters, and it always will.
Because it influences the other side.
There's no doubt. It is nonverbal feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And what I receive from you, I will then transfer to my mind, and that will determine how I react to you. I mean, it is what it is. And I'm watching this guy, and I totally agree with you. Like, who we probably unjustly, by a tick, threw up there, maybe one or two or mm-hmm. three players more than we should have.
Yeah.
You got to be better than that, man. Brady's yeah. not doing that. Favre's not doing that. Marino's not doing that. The great Montana's not. The great ones don't do that.
No.
I know the Niners are better. That's why I bet them. I knew that. But we all knew that. But you can't show that.
Is he still top five?
I'd say he's probably. Is he still top five? In no order, Mahomes, mm-hmm. Lamar, Russell Wilson.
Yep.
Brady's out of the top five. He's definitely out of the top five. So he's not there anymore. Yeah, he's top five. I'd say he's four or five. But I believe, Teak, that the conversation of is he number one?
Drew Brees.
Yeah, that's another guy I feel, I don't want to go on this disrespect legend day here, but I feel like even Drew Brees, we kind of lump in there maybe a little quicker than we need
but
to.
But Drew Brees never had the exalted, you're the best ever, right? Despite not accomplishing,
true.
He said one Super Bowl.
Yeah, and same as Rodgers.
Right, same as Rodgers. Uh-huh. But we never put Drew up there like, yeah, he's got he can make every throw, he's got all the skills, he's an athlete, he can do all. We never put Drew up there.
No.
But Drew still played. Drew plays at the level that he plays at, and it's been consistent for a long, long time.
Listen, there's only one team that's had three fewer three and outs this season than the Packers. Mm-hmm. That's the Bills.
Yeah,
who were a defensive team, as we all know. And there's a reason for that. Sure, there's a dearth of weaponry around them. We all know that. Come on, but
that was glaring, by the way.
Yeah, it was very glaring. There's no doubt it was glaring. Yeah. The 49ers are a varsity team, and the Packers looked like a JV team.
That's right.
The Packers were, and I said this to you about 2 weeks ago because somebody did a deep dive into some of the efficiency aspects of the offensive and the defensive numbers. The Packers were determined to be the worst 13-3 team in the history of the NFL. And, it bore itself out yesterday, and that's fine. But that... I didn't like that visual from Rodgers. And, with Brees, too, what do we do with Brees? We see him pregame, pumping up his guys. He's so into it. He just projects differently. Rodgers is a loner. He's quirky. He emits indifference when I know it's not, because I know he wants to win.
Of course.
But whatever he projects, I'm sorry. I could see why some ex-teammates have not taken shots, but taken shots at Aaron Rodgers. I'm sure he's a tough guy to play with. I really believe that. All right, let's get the update for Mac. We'll get that. We got 5-star rewind coming up after that. We got Leroy Butler, great Packer, and he'll join us in hour number two, inbounds, out of bounds as well. Hey, Tom Brady sitting down with Mark Davis. Maybe Mark Davis was getting haircut tips. Hey, Tom, what should I do with this bold cut? Or maybe they were actually talking about maybe coming to play for the Raiders. We'll get to that a little bit later as well. And Conor McGregor, we'll squeeze it all in. Axe update is right now. Here is Axe. All right. What's going on? Tiki and Tierney here. Time to ask the pros. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Just tweet us at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag Ask the Pros. And make sure you stick around. Listen later on. Tiki and I will answer the best one. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs, guarantee low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Did you do some shoveling this weekend? I was thinking of you guys when I was shoveling. I was telling you how much I love shoveling.
I didn't get any. I didn't get that enough to...
You live 7 miles from me.
I know, but we didn't get enough to have to shovel. Or maybe it's because I have a pickup truck. So we just took the truck and just plowed through it.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it wasn't an arduous...
No. Yeah, it was an easy...
Just get out there for an hour or so.
Easy shovel. Yeah. I went for a run instead.
I saw that. But I like throwing the salt.
Yeah.
Like, I like to get to the salt part.
We don't.
So to get to the salt, I've got to actually shovel.
See, nobody ever comes in our walkway.
I know what you mean.
Because
the mailbox is in the street for us, so exactly. I know what you mean.
And so our walkway is never used, and if people come to visit, they just go to the garage.
Yeah.
So they park right by the garage and walk in the garage.
Although, I don't know, if your house and your wife is anything like mine, you weren't getting a lot of packages during the holidays? So somebody was up that walkway.
Well, no, because they leave them by the garage.
Oh, okay, I got you. No, they have to come up to ours and...
Yeah.
I feel like every day I came home, there was a package. And none of them were for me. All right. Let's get to a little 5-star. A little 5-star rewind. Conference championship style. Go ahead, D-Cell.
Time to buckle in.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. That's some fun.
Here's your latest 5-star rewind.
Hello?
Tiki and Tierney give you the best highlights from their top five games over the past weekend.
I know I'm going to get got, but I'm going to get mine more than I get got, though.
Here we come. It's a man's game now.
Okay, we start in Santa Clara. Jerry Rice on hand, the best receiver of all time. Yeah. But this was all on the ground. A rushing attack for the ages.
Third and eight at the 36-yard line. Garoppolo in the shotgun along the left hash. Gives to Mostert. Mostert has a hole. Mostert at the 30. Turns on the Jets up the left sideline. Inside the 10. Inside the 5. And a touchdown. He slides and swims through the back of the end zone in celebration after a 36-yard touchdown burst to give the Niners a 6-0 lead.
And he was just getting started. That's how it sounded. Kevin Kugler on the call. Westwood 1. Before we get a little deeper in here, can I ask you, Teek, did Jerry Rice maybe make it about himself a little bit too much?
Maybe a little bit out there running routes with a suit on. With a buttoned-up suit on, by the way.
Still look pretty good.
Catching touchdown passes. I guess people love that, though. I
mean, he's Jerry Rice.
He's Jerry Rice. He is a legend.
Not mad at you. How about Mostert, though, doing it? Going, I mean, really, this is the start. We have more highlights to rip through, but it speaks to the schematics of this team.
Well, it's exactly the schematics of this team. And you think of Brian Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan, the offensive, the head coach now, I almost kind of called him offensive coordinator. You would think his MO is, as a thrower, get the ball downfield, but you forget who his dad was.
Mm-hmm. Or is.
What?
Or is.
You know what I mean?
And still his dad.
Right, still his dad. He actually handed out the trophy afterwards, which I thought was kind of odd.
He was up in the box. We got a few shots of him during the game.
Yeah, he was down on the field, and he handed the trophy, which was
so
weird.
What?
It wasn't just, it was like, what?
You just, oh, come
you're
on.
Just like a fan in this, but whatever.
Get out of here.
But the Denver Broncos of the Shanahan era, they were run teams, man.
Uh-huh.
I mean, obviously they had a great quarterback in John Elway, but they run the ball to a plum. That 30-yard touchdown was third and seven. Who runs the ball on third and seven and then rips it off to the house?
Yeah.
That's the confidence that this San Francisco 49ers team has in their offensive line and their run game in total.
Well, as we know, Mostert was nowhere near being done.
Garoppolo under center from Green Bay's 23-yard line. Juszczyk and a true eye. They're going to run it again. Wide stretch run to Mostert. Gets the edge. Lap cuts back inside. Raheem Mostert has four rushing touchdowns and the most yards rushing in a playoff game in 49er history. Oh, by the way, touchdown San Francisco!
Got to finish the job there, Greg Popp.
Come on,
doing his thing on the Niners radio network, and he described the cutback very nicely as he went from the boundary back toward the field. He took a little pop near the pylon, but he plowed through for six more.
Yeah, this kid's got great vision. And again, I'm going to put a lot of this on the offensive line, too. They sealed the edges, and the Green Bay Packers defense didn't take really good angles. Their secondary did not tackle well. The second most all-time in a playoff game, Eric Dickerson had the most, 248 yards and two touchdowns. Against the Dallas Cowboys, I thought for a while that Raheem Mostert was going to grab that one.
He might have if it was closer.
He had 140 yards at halftime.
Yep.
I said, like, this kid is on ball tonight. And the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo didn't have to throw it at all. I think he threw it twice in the second half. Eight total passes in the game, twice in the second half, which he completed. He had a decent day, 6 of 8, 77 yards, 9.6 yards per carry, per attempt. So he's pushing the ball downfield. But when you're running the ball as well as they were, Jimmy, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
We'll see you in a couple of weeks and save that wing because Mahomes are going to put points on you would imagine. So one half of the Super Bowl is punched. That is the 49ers from the NFC side. But before we get to the AFC, Aaron Rodgers, why this one stings so much.
It's a little raw right now for sure, but it definitely hurts, I'd say, a little more than early in the career, just because you realize just how difficult it is to get to this spot. And with all the changes this offseason and with all the installation of a new system and a new program, to get to this point, you felt like it was something special.
All right, so who's going to be the other team in Miami? Well, for a while, it looked like Tennessee might sneak their way home again. Some more trickery. The big guy, the heaviest receiver, quote, unquote, in the history of the NFL, to catch a touchdown pass.
Under center, Tannehill fakes the handoff, throws a short pass. It's caught in the end zone by Dennis Kelly. An offensive lineman, an extra lineman, the backpedaling two-handed catch by the lineman, Dennis Kelly. It's a touchdown pass, a short one by the quarterback, Ryan Tannehill. And now the Tennessee Titans have gone up 16-7 midway through the second here at Arrowhead, and the crowd is stunned.
And they would wake up very soon, and the Titans would also add the PAT, make it 17-7. That's how it sounded. Kevin Harlan doing his thing on Westwood One. Yeah. Let's face it, in a lot of ways, the Titans had to be creative
to
score some points.
Look, we saw it last week in the divisional round when Derrick Henry threw a jump pass for a touchdown. We all know that their head coach is a pass catcher himself. He's a linebacker when he was playing for the Patriots, but he caught two touchdowns in Super Bowl. So you knew that the bag of tricks had to come out for them to at least keep this thing close against the Kansas City Chiefs. And this was an innovative one. It made it 17-7. That lead didn't last for long.
Well, we know the Niners ran wild, and we know Patty Mahomes can throw with anybody. But how about this? Tuck it and running 27 yards later, elusive, taking a shot and plowing his way in for six.
Three-man rush again by Tennessee. Mahomes moving to his left laterally, chased, holding it, and gets out of bounds and up the sideline. He's not out of bounds yet. He's at the 10, inside the 10. He dives for the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. A remarkable acrobatic scramble on a 27-yard run. Maybe the best play yet of Patrick Mahomes' incredible young career.
I simply have no words for that, but I will try. That was amazing.
That's how it sounded. Mitch Holthus and his sidekick doing their thing. They've had a fun season on Chiefs Radio Network. So the early malaise again. They didn't start this game. They didn't start as poorly as they did last week, but not razor sharp out of the chute. They woke up in time. They would eventually pull away, cover the number, punch their ticket to the Super Bowl.
Look, you got
to
give the Tennessee Titans defense some credit here for why they their offense, the Kansas City Chiefs offense, was slow getting started. And I got to tell you, we talk a lot about Tony Romo because Tony Romo is good, and he's about to get a contract extension, and it's going to be a large one.
Ain't going to be a small one.
No, but he pointed something out that I don't know if most analysts would point out. So the Tennessee Titans played a lot of zone. They disguised it, though, as man. So there's literally one guy sitting in the middle of the field. Everybody else is up pressed, and you're like, this is man. Mm-hmm. At the snap of the ball, it's the same look. By the time Pat Mahomes gets two or three steps into his drop, it's cover two, right? And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, wait, that's not what I thought. Pat Mahomes could figure that out, but his wide receivers couldn't, right? So Tyreek Hill was late on a throw. And, like, I think most analysts would have just said, oh, it was a good throw. He just couldn't catch up with it. But Tony Romo pointed out, he was like, the reason that this play was it's easy to say it was incomplete, right? The reason the play was incomplete is because Pat Mahomes recognized it right away. Oh, this is not man, this is zone. So I know that Tyreek Hill is now sitting down, right? But Tyreek Hill is kind of confused. He's like, wait, this was man. No, it is zone, so I got to sit down. But he's a half a second late to Pat Mahomes, right? So that timing is off by just a half a second. So he turns around, the ball's already there, he drops it. Like, the fact that was explained that way, it was eye-opening, because most analysts can't that quickly get in depth on why the pass was incomplete. They can tell you it was incomplete. Mm-hmm. They can't tell you why it was incomplete.
I can tell you it's incomplete.
I know exactly.
It's incomplete.
But it was smart, and he was crediting Tennessee's defense.
For sure, disguising.
They had to do that, because if they don't, Pat Mahomes is going to throw for 450 yards against them. So Tennessee did a good job, but it was only a matter of time before Pat Mahomes, who I love because he is not scared to tuck the ball and run.
Not at all.
If you're going to back up and turn your back to him, he's taking off every single time, and I love that.
Hey, listen, I mean, Romo, he doesn't need us to lead the campaign. Yeah. He's terrific. But what makes him terrific, just to add quickly to that, is, you know, he makes things that could be a little complex to the average fan. He diagnoses it in a way that's very common. And I'll tell you what, the 27-yard touchdown run by Mahomes as well, he went through that same exact thing, the disguise. Kelce was double bracketed on the right side, and it looked when Mahomes went to the line of scrimmage, it quickly turned into something that he did not think it was, but he recognized it fast, and he took off because obviously everybody's on the other side of the field.
Yeah.
Ryan Tannehill, let's get to this real quick, how he's taken the loss, a tough one, but a great season for Tannehill.
Honestly, I'm kind of in shock a little bit, you know, just you don't prepare yourself for this outcome. You know, everything in your preparation in your mind is, we're going to win this game. You know, you don't really even think of the other side. So when it hits hard. It hurts. You feel the pain across the locker room. think how far we've come, and then to really come up short from what our end goal was, it hurts. It's sudden. It hurts. It's going to take a while to get over.
Well, I think you'll start smiling when you see that first paycheck coming in from whomever pays you, because somebody will. But I got it. That's got to crush
him. The new paycheck. And he didn't play bad. 21 of 31, 209 yards or so, and two touchdowns. He did okay.
Mm-hmm.
They were just not a good enough team to keep up with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Don't disagree. All right, Tom Brady. There's no way. There is no way. I'm not buying this for 1 second. I don't believe that there's an ounce of possibility that he actually goes and plays for the Raiders. We're going to kick this around. He was hanging out with Mark Davis at the fight over the weekend. We'll get to that. I think it's a bunch of nonsense. I'm sorry. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.